You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, January 8th, 2024. You're starting your work week off listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Thank you for joining us once again today. And you know what? We're already at the eighth day of the first month. Time is flying by, no doubt, because we're having so much fun. As always, I want to remind you, we do have our Sven Longshank support links here on the description page for the Daily Nationalist. Encourage you to drop him a note. Let him hear from you. No, we haven't forgot him. I use the email service. And if you are using the email service, maybe you just started, it's about an eight-day turnaround to hear back from him. It's basically, if you send, my experience thus far has been, I send an email, it sits there for 4 days before somebody can get around, you know, to reading it. And I'm not being critical of the prison staff. That just, yeah, they can only go through so much, and it has to be sorted through and gone through. And it said there about 4 days to get read and scanned and okay and approved. And then when he writes a response, it'll be about another 4 days for them to go through the response, and then you'll get it. Now, granted, I realize with email, you expect it to be longer, you know, to be shorter than that. We're used to it being instantaneous, but that's the way it works, you know, obviously in a prison facility. So, but he isn't as limited on how many email responses as he can make, which with snail mail, he's only allowed to write so many letters per week. I don't remember off the top of my head how many it was. If you do decide to do the snail mail option and you don't hear anything back, well, just understand he's very limited on how many responses he's got. You know, if he gets 100 letters in a week, I think it's four. I keep wanting to think it's four. He can pick four to respond to, and that's all he gets. The email, he's allowed to do a lot more. So, you know, I would encourage you, and I know Sven has passed along that he would encourage you to use the email service. But regardless, on his behalf and on all of us here at Radio Albion, I do appreciate y'all continuing to support Sven. Well, speaking of supporting, one thing we unwaveringly support Sven Longshanks here at Radio Albion, just as the U.S. unwaveringly supports Israel no matter what they do. We're going back to the news story format today. It's something like Friday I kind of got away from because I do admittedly struggle sometimes with it a bit. We're going back to the news story format for this show, and we're going back to a story from December 29th I'd snagged up that I thought I found somewhat insightful, and we're going to go use this from the Associated Press via Yahoo News, and the headline is, "The Biden Administration Once Again Bypasses Congress on an Emergency Weapons Sale to Israel." Now, if you live in the U.S., you have to come to the point you wonder, why do we have a Congress? I've been at that point for a long time. I don't even understand what the point of Congress is, because they don't do their job. They'll sit here and whine and complain when the president basically governs by executive order, but they won't actually do their job. Instead, they want to hold hearings and do this and put cameras up and do interviews, but they don't actually ever seem to do their job. Well, apparently, the Biden administration is also asking this question, is decided they really don't need Congress. For the second time this month, the Biden administration is bypassing Congress to approve an emergency weapons sale to Israel as Israel continues to prosecute its war against Hamas in Gaza under increasing international criticism. Criticism for what? Well, because they're blowing up civilians. They're basically carpet bombing civilians. They're bombing nothing but civilian infrastructure. I mean, let's be specific about what this criticism, where this criticism is coming from. And why is this an emergency weapons sale? If they don't bomb Palestinian civilians, then their whole country is going to fall. What, all these people are going to flood in and take over the government in Israel, and the nation won't stand? Exactly what is the emergency? But see, nobody ever even actually asked that question. What is the emergency? You're just supposed to go along with it and assume, yes, it's obviously an existential crisis. The State Department said Friday that Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who, by the way, should have no conflict of interest here. I can't think of anything that would make this a conflict of interest for Antony Blinken. Had told Congress that he had made a second emergency determination covering a $147.5 million sale for equipment, including fuses, chargers, and primers, that is needed to make the 155-millimeter shells that Israel has already purchased function. Now, as far as I know, they're mostly dropping bombs from the air. Are they planning on setting up and just shelling endlessly with artillery? Is that the next stage of the game? I think this is a little clue of where this is moving. They are already, apparently, Israel's already pushing this into provoking Hezbollah and Lebanon. They're trying to push the U.S. into fighting a war with Iran. But this artillery shell thing, because they're not, as far as I know, they're not using artillery in the Gaza Strip. Now, I may be wrong about that, but it seems to me like this is a little bit of a hint that they intend to spread this. They intend to expand this war. Given the urgency of Israel's defensive needs, you know, the word magic these people use, you know, the lengths they go there, in your face lies. It just really, I don't know. You could say you almost admire, but it's so stupid on your face. They just say these things and you're supposed to take them at face value. The urgency of Israel's defensive need. Again, defensive against who? I mean, they're just bombing hospitals, schools, and apartment buildings. Urgency of their defensive needs. This implies that if they are not bombing these schools and hospitals, that these people are going to somehow come in and destroy Israel as a country. The secretary notified Congress that he had exercised his delegated authority to determine an emergency existed, necessitating the immediate approval of the transfer, the department said. The United States is committed. The United States is committed to the security of Israel, and it is vital to U.S. national interests to ensure Israel is able to defend itself against the threats it faces, it said. If only the government was as committed to the American people as they are observably committed to Israel. Wouldn't that be nice? I saw a story recently, you know, and I'm sure you've heard it, where some of these Israeli officials came out and just said the thing out loud that they weren't supposed to say out loud, because that way the U.S. government can pretend that's not what they're doing. But you had these two, I believe it's two government officials from Israel, and they came out and did interviews talking about, well, what we need to do is send these people somewhere else. Guess where? They'd be talking about, oh, we're cutting a deal with the Congo. We're going to send them down. They're not going to send them to Africa. You know who's getting these people. It's going to be you. Gonna get them in your country. And then these same people, if you complain about these people coming into your country, these same people are going to sit here and call you a racist and Islamophobe for complaining about them coming into your country. By and large, it's going to be the same people who are ethnically cleansing the Palestinians off of their land that will then, when you say, well, I really don't want these people coming into my country, what's wrong? Are you some kind of racist or something? These people, anyway, these government officials in Israel come out and complained about, said the quiet part out loud about, we're going to ethnically cleanse these Palestinian people. We're going to move them somewhere else. If they're gone, then you see there's no problem. Once again, they use the word magic and they say, well, see, it'll be a voluntary, we're talking about a voluntary relocation. You see, we got to dance around. If you listen to my show this past Friday on how, you know, they do this whole legalese, everything is this legalese technicality word game. No, you see, we're not ethnically cleansing them. They're volunteering to leave. Well, yeah, when somebody's bombing you on a daily basis, you have no food, no water, no medicine, and your house is burned up and you're living in rubble and your kids are all dead. Well, eventually you might say, well, I guess I can either stay here and die or go somewhere else. You're volunteering to leave. You volunteered to leave after we carpet bombed, after we bombed everything you have, and there's no infrastructure, no food, no water, no medicine, no nothing for you, and everybody's sick, bleeding, and dying around you. If you decide to get up and go somewhere else, you see, you volunteered. Technically, see, it's all word game. You see, it's all about word game. We pretend. You see, technicalities. It's all about this legalese. You twist the words and the meaning of words around, and you see, it doesn't actually mean what you think it means. It means what we say it means at this time. The fact is, they're ethnically cleansing these people out of here. And I love it when you have these people say, well, yeah, that's just because of Hamas. It's just a Gaza Strip. You notice the Palestinians in the West Bank aren't having this problem. And that takes sheer ignorance to not understand how settlers, the whole settler movement works. Yes, no, actually, the Palestinians in the West Bank are having and have been having this problem for quite some time. Dr. Johnson's done, I know, at least one fairly recent show on this very issue. Go back and find it. Listen, if you don't understand it. You know, I mean, so yeah, no, they said the quiet part out loud, and they got some pushback on this, and U.S. officials were like, don't say that out loud, and they were like, oh, we don't support the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians, and they doubled down. These Israeli officials doubled down and said, look, you can't tell us what to do. We're not a star on the American flag, and yet we have these government officials in the U.S., and they act like they are a star on the American. In fact, they're the only star on the American flag. They all just take, you know, you got all the stars that represent the different states on the American flag. They should take all those stars off and just put the one Israel inverted triangle star flag, star right there. There, that's the only state that matters. They don't give a shit what happens to the actual states in the United States. When was the last time there was an emergency declaration to help out the people in America? But no, you know, just take all of those other stars off the flag and just put the Israel star up there. And then you would have something a little closer to the truth. And like, oh, you can't tell us what to do. But well, who's paying for this crap? You know, on the one hand, they'll sit there and say, oh, Americans can't tell us what to do. They should add the other part if they're busy saying the quiet part out loud, because we own them. We've got the title for these clowns. You would know under normal circumstances, whoever's paying for these things might have a say in these things. And yet you have the U.S. goes around and says, well, you know, we can't really, we're encouraging the Israelis to quit ethnically cleansing them. We're encouraging them to, you know, bomb them and slaughter them more humanely. But, you know, we can't really tell them what to do. Well, yeah, you can. If you were actually independent, you could tell them, or we're going to quit sending you money and weapons. The emergency determination means the purchase will bypass the congressional review requirement for foreign military sales. Such determinations are rare but not unprecedented. When administrations see an urgent need for weapons to be delivered without waiting for lawmakers' approval. Blinken made a similar decision on December 9th. See, it's so rare this second time. It was twice in December. December 9th, to approve the sale to who else? Israel, of nearly 14,000 rounds of tank ammunition worth more than $106 million. Meanwhile, in America, we got homeless people on the street. Can't afford health care. Our infrastructure is garbage in this country. We have third world tier infrastructure. The money's just never there. Remember when Trump wanted to build his border wall and these same clowns were running around going, oh my gosh, it's too expensive. We just can't afford it. I was laughing the other day. I saw some, you know, on the spot reporter talking about, you know, this whole situation in Israel. And the guy has set up his camera. He's, you know, got the camera set up and he's standing there reporting live back to America, you know, from Israel. And behind him is this giant prison wall walling off these Palestinians. Giant. I mean, it's like some huge fortress wall. You've no doubt all seen it. I wonder who helped pay for that. But you see, you know, couldn't have a border wall here. That's just too expensive. That's just crazy. Just crazy talk. Both moves have come as President Joe Biden's request for nearly $106 billion aid package for the Ukraine, Israel, and other national security needs remains stalled in Congress, caught up in a debate over U.S. immigration policy and border security. Some Democratic lawmakers have spoken of making the proposed $14.3 billion in American assistance to its Middle East ally, contingent on concrete steps by Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's government to reduce civilian casualties in Gaza during the war with Hamas. I've got to talk about this whole immigration thing and this whole border thing, because some of y'all are in Europe or other places, and some of you may not live down here in Texas. And, you know, we've got this whole thing going. This has been an ongoing thing, and I'm just so glad that I'm not one of these normie people that, you know, actually still somehow thinks the political system functions in this country. You know, I'm glad it is. It's a relief, because it would be kind of, I don't know, kind of disturbing, kind of upsetting, depressing to be pretending that the political system in this country is actually functioning. Here recently, this past week, Republican lawmakers, I hate it when politicians do this crap too. Republican lawmakers from Congress came down to Eagle Pass, Texas to do a tour of the border, as if they don't know, you know, as if they don't know what the hell is going on. Like, they've got to come see it for themselves, or they have no idea what's happening at the border at Eagle Pass, Texas. They come and they just sit there and they do TV interviews and they do this grandstanding and make these pronouncements because they have to come to the border and do a tour of the border. And then they'll criticize Team D because no one from Team D has come down to see what's happening at the border. Like, you can't look on a camera. You don't have internet service. I've been to the border. I know what's going on at the border. But these people, they have to come and they may have to grandstand. State of Texas is passed laws to where they're trying to enforce, or at least they say they're trying to enforce, immigration policy on the state level. And the Biden administration is arguing this is all a circus show. I'm not even trying to pretend any of this is legit. The Biden administration is arguing in the courts that they can't do that. They can't make it a state law to keep these people out and enforce the border, because that's the job of the federal government. And nowhere in the court will any judge sit there and look at the federal government's lawyers and say, then explain to me why you're not doing your job. Give me the motive. Tell us then, you're saying this is, you know, they can't step on your territory. This is your jurisdiction. Explain to this court and the American people why the hell you're not doing your job. Because obviously you're not. These people are flooding in. And they sit there and act like, well, how do we keep the back? I saw one of these, House Speaker was down there, and he's sitting down doing a staged media interview. And the media woman is sitting there saying, well, you're part of the problem. The Biden administration is asking for more money so they can have more Border Patrol agents to help stop. And you're the ones holding it up. Really? The Biden administration, suddenly they're wanting to be tough on immigration, but you're just not giving them enough money. Gee, if we only had, I don't know, I mean, whose job really should be protecting the borders of a country if we only had an army? Oh, that's right. We have the most expensive army and military on the face of the planet. Can't use them, though. We have to go through this song and dance. We have to go through this whole charade. Meanwhile, Israel has a giant prison wall, like complete with guard towers built into it. Looks like something, I don't know, crazy from, I don't know, the future or some dystopian prison planet or some shit that no doubt the U.S. helped pay for. Meanwhile, it's okay. We just can't keep these people out. We have to bring them in. It's all just a show. But when it comes to Israel, on the other hand, money is no object. It's an emergency. It's urgent. The State Department sought to counter potential criticism of the sale on human rights grounds by saying it was in constant touch with Israel to emphasize the importance of minimizing civilian casualties, which have soared since Israel began its response to the Hamas attacks in Israel on October 7th. Well, they soared because they're bombing these people. What are you supposed to be? Imagine being a Palestinian and sitting there going, well, everybody in my family's dead now because a U.S. bomb was dropped on us by Israel. But I do feel better knowing that the State Department of the U.S. is in constant touch with Israel, emphasizing and encouraging them. You see, they're encouraging them to, hey, bomb them soft or something. We continue to strongly emphasize to the government of Israel that they must not only comply with international humanitarian law, but also take every feasible step to prevent harm to civilians. And they're not doing that. So, were we supposed to just pretend? I mentioned this in a previous show, but I saw an interview where one of these government officials was saying nobody does more to protect Palestinian civilians than the United States, who is providing the bombs that are blowing up Palestinian civilians. You know, I can't make this stuff up. I look ahead here. I glance at the next thing to read, and it's just like, It just tastes foul in my mouth to have to repeat this stuff. Hamas hides behind civilians and has embedded itself among the civilian population, but that does not lessen Israel's responsibility and strategic imperative to distinguish between civilians and Hamas terrorists as it conducts its military operation, the department said. This type of campaign can only be won by protecting civilians. If we had a free, an actual independent functioning press in this country, that statement would be followed up with the question, why would Hamas hide behind civilians? What good does that do? They act like Hamas is using the Palestinian people as human shields, but that doesn't work when you know your opponent is just going to blow up the civilians intentionally. I mean, Israel is intentionally blowing up hospitals, blowing up schools, and they say, well, there were Hamas people there. There's never any proof. The same media that always likes to follow up anything anyone's they don't like says they follow up with no evidence, with no presented no evidence, with no proof. Israel claims Hamas is in these areas, and they never provide any actual proof. In fact, Israel's gone so far as to blow up press people, blow up reporters that were reporting. That's why now the only interviews you get are people sitting in Tel Aviv in front of the giant prison wall that somehow they can afford. Just, you know, Hamas, that would be like, what would be the point of taking hostages? You go out, like, say you were robbing a bank. You rob a bank. You're part of an organization, and you rob a bank, and you go in and you say, we're going to rob this bank. We're going to get away. We're going to take the bank staff hostage. So you send a group of your guys in. They rob the bank, and they take the police show up in their armored SWAT vehicles and helicopters, and you take the bank people hostage, and you're like, let us out with the money, or we'll kill the hostages. And the police respond by just blowing up and shooting all of the hostages right there in front of you. Well, the next time you did that, you'd be like, well, they're just going to blow up hostages. There would be no point. This implication that Hamas is using the Palestinians as human shields is ridiculous on its face, because the first go-to move by Israel every single time is to blow up the Palestinians. I mean, that's their go-to move. They do it time and again, whether they use white phosphorus, cluster bombs, just whatever. They drop bunker buster bombs on a hospital provided by the U.S. And oh, but Hamas is hiding behind these civilians, implying that Israel hesitates to blow up Palestinian civilians. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous on their face. So Hamas goes out and takes Israeli civilians as hostages. And I guess they were thinking, you know, maybe they'll hesitate. And you know, if we're using these people, no, they didn't. In fact, I've read several articles. They've gone back to the scene of the crime of October 7th, as it were. And it turns out, from what I've read, I haven't read a whole lot on it, but I've read several sources that say they've gone back and looked. And actually, a lot of these Israelis that were killed on October 7th were actually killed by the IDF. Like, apparently, we've got a family of Israelis in this house and two Hamas guys there with them. And instead of like going in and trying to rescue those people, the IDF just opened up with Apache attack helicopters with miniguns and just razed the whole house and killed everybody. So apparently they don't even have a problem killing Israeli citizens, civilians either. If they don't have a problem killing their own dudes, if they don't have a problem mowing down Israeli civilians, why the hell is anybody going to think they're going to have a problem mowing down Palestinian civilians? Bypassing Congress with emergency. I just, you know, this is our greatest ally. Our greatest ally in the Middle East, and no one will ever tell us exactly what they're providing. You know, an ally is a give and take relationship. You can look at China and Russia and say they're allies, and say, well, Russia's providing, you know, oil, natural gas, and these resources that China needs, and China in turn is supplying Russia with manufactured goods that they need. It's a give and take. Nobody could ever tell us what our supposed greatest ally in the Middle East is actually, what we're getting out of this deal. I've never seen anybody, and I've asked people before, I've asked normie idiots before, you know, who spout this, Israel's our greatest ally ever. And I said, well, what are they giving us? And you'll never get an answer. At the most, they'll mumble something about, well, they share intelligence with us about the Muslims or something. And the Muslims only have a problem with us because of our support like this for Israel. The U.S. government supports Israel unconditionally because they're bought and paid for by the same people. And, oh, but don't worry, they share intelligence about the people who hate us because of this unconditional support. That makes them our greatest ally or something. Bypassing Congress with emergency determinations for arms sales is an unusual step that it has in the past. It's so unusual, it happened twice in 1 month this past year. But anyway, which in the past has met resistance from lawmakers who normally have a period of time to weigh in on proposed weapons transfers and in some cases block them. In May of 2019, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo made an emergency determination for an $8.1 billion sale of weapons to Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan after it became clear that the Trump administration would have trouble overcoming lawmakers' concerns about the Saudi and UAE-led war in Yemen, which they were encouraged to do by the U.S. government itself. And just for a moment here, because people, you'll have, oh yeah, well, actually, they're talking about selling these weapons to Israel. Hello, they're buying these weapons from us. They're paying us with the money that we're giving them. It's quite a gig. No, they're buying it. Can't you read? Hello, it says here that they're buying them from us. That helps create American jobs.
American jobs. Paid for with the blood of people that have nothing to do with us. They have no threat to us whatsoever. We should be okay with that. But setting that aside, no, they're paying for it with money that we're giving them. It's with money that the government borrows from, basically, by and large, from the same group of people. They borrow the money at interest, turn around and give it to Israel, who turns around and buys the weapons to do with the deal, and we're paid. The government is owing the interest to essentially the same group of people that they borrowed the money from.
They're buying it. They're purchasing them. This is good for our economy.
Pompeo came under heavy criticism for the move, which some believed may have violated the law because many of the weapons involved had yet to be built. It's an emergency. So it's an emergency order for weapons that haven't even been made yet and could not be delivered urgently, but he was cleared of any wrongdoing after an internal investigation. See, everything's fine. The government investigated in the case of Pompeo, the government investigated themselves, and lo and behold, don't worry, everything was on the up and up. They checked themselves. Everything was cool. At least four administrations have used the authority since 1979. President George H.W. Bush's administration used it during the Gulf War to get arms quickly to Saudi Arabia. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. They can't tell us, like, look at those past times it was used. This is an interesting take. And once again, it's a take that would get brought up if we had an actual free press. They would follow us up by every one of these cases where it's been used before in these alleged emergencies. Had those emergency, had that not taken place? In other words, if it was such an emergency, what would have happened if that not been done? And I would be willing to bet the answer pretty much virtually every single time is, well, nothing. nothing would have actually changed. Meanwhile, on the border, people are just flooding in. They have no idea who any of these people are. They've been flooding in for a long time, and the government has no interest. There's no emergency here. But you see, Israel needing to bomb Palestinians, they're trying to take refuge in a hospital. This is where our priorities lie. This is the priorities of this government. People can't afford to start families. People can't afford rent. People can hardly afford food. People are flooding in across the border. We have no idea who these people are. The government's not interested in stopping them at all. They'll spend money and go to court to try to keep them coming in. Nobody's interested. Nobody in the press and the media is interested in asking them. None of the courts are going to be interested in asking the government why you are intentionally letting these people come in. You're intentionally thwarting any effort to curb them coming in. What is your end goal? They state your policy. Tell us why you're doing this, because you're doing it on purpose. Nobody's curious. Nobody's asking the question. Well, we're asking the question, but we're not, you know, in a position of authority. So go to court. Why isn't a judge asking? What's the emergency that Israel has to have these weapons? Where did Israel get the money to build that big, gigantic prison wall with guard towers? How much of that was built with? Meanwhile, people can't afford health care. They can't afford to start families. They can't afford to buy a car if they have an old hoopty. They can't afford to do anything. But none of that is an emergency. None of that is a priority. At the end of the day, I think that Israeli official was not wrong. Israel is not a star on the American flag. Judging by their priorities, it's the only star on the American flag. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you'll get a chance to check. I'll be back tomorrow with my normal Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will have his Orthodox Nationalist up on Wednesday, something I know a lot of you always look forward to. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday for his daily nationalist show, and I'll of course be back on Friday to wrap your work week up. I thank you all for listening. Keep the faith, and as always, we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.